Hello and welcome back to the Words of the Wise podcast, hosted by me, Lexi Maynard. If this is your first time listening, or if you haven't already, be sure to hit the subscribe button for instant updates on new episodes. You can also find us on Instagram at Words of the Wise podcast, or on Twitter at Words of W podcast. Joining us today for episode 8 is the lovely Mary Armstrong. Full of wit and energy, Mary brings plenty of life to this episode, but also an abundance of wisdom. As I think of her as my third grandma, I can't wait for you to meet her. Here is Mary Armstrong.
Hi, I'm Mary Armstrong, and I am a young 77 years old. I was born May 29th, 1943 in Indianapolis, Indiana at St. Vincent's Hospital. I spent the first month of my life in an incubator because I only weighed 4 pounds and 7.5 ounces, and a month later I only gained 0.5 ounce. Doctor said I had some issues with keeping food down or something. No problem now, though. I overcame that. But he told my parents when I was born, I guess I could fit inside a cigar box. And he looked at him. He said, normally I just give her about a 50-50 chance of survival rate. But looking at this one, she's pretty feisty. I think she's going to make it. So
you obviously had a big family. How many siblings did you have?
I have 5 brothers and 1 sister, but for the first 12 years, I grew up with 5 brothers. So then my sister was born, so that was a great day for me.
Where did you fall in the order?
Oh, I was number 3. Actually, my parents had a sister first born, but she died. She was only 10 days old when she died. Back in those days, she died of pneumonia, which was really sad because nowadays they would have cures for that, but back then they didn't. Mm-hmm. And then I had 2 brothers, and then I was born, and then 3 other brothers. When my 5th brother was born, my dad came in and said, "You have another brother." I went, "No." And I ran in my room and cried and slammed the door. So I think they actually had my sister for me.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's what I think.
So where did you go to school?
In grade school, I went to St. Joan of Arc. And I didn't even go to kindergarten back then. And I guess it wasn't required because I probably said I didn't want to go. And then I didn't. So I don't know what the deal was. Yeah. I just remember I didn't go. But we went 1st grade through 8th grade. So we had no such thing as a middle school back then. We went directly from grade school into a high school after that. So it was... Yeah, it was really interesting.
Yeah. What did the typical day look like in your life as a kid?
Well, going to school day, I would get up in the morning, and my mom would always have fresh squeezed oranges, something you wouldn't hear about nowadays, but they had those little things you squeeze the oranges on, fresh oranges on. And so usually when I go to the store, I usually have to get orange juice with pulp in it because it reminds me of my younger days. Mm-hmm. And soft-boiled eggs and get ready and walk to school. We all walked, I suppose. I don't even remember now. We used to do all cut through alleys and backyards and everything to get there, but probably a good 3/4 of a mile. And then we would, we started out in church, actually, because I went to a Catholic school. So we started out in church. Mm-hmm. And then after church, you would march over to the school, which was adjacent to it. And then I would walk after school at lunchtime. We would walk all the way home for lunch. And my mom would have the table set with either peanut butter jelly, bologna, or grilled cheese, and there was always some kind of soup. There was always like applesauce, peaches, or pears too, and everything was always set up. We would eat and then walk back to school again. Mm-hmm. And then finish school and walk back home again. Then I would change my clothes from 4th to 8th grade. I was on a kickball team, so I would change my clothes and walk back to school again for practice. After mm-hmm. practice, walk back home again. So yeah. That was a lot of walking. And the only time we ever got a ride to school was when it was raining because it would ruin the books. They didn't really care much about us, but they cared if our books were ruined.
Yeah.
We didn't have backpacks and those kind of convenient things back then. So, yeah, and the things I disliked the most about that walking to school was the winter with the snowball fights and the boys, not the fights, but the boys would throw snowballs at you. And I didn't like that much.
Oh, I can see that. I bet your brothers did.
Sure, probably.
Yeah.
Probably learned how to throw back, too.
Probably, yeah. So what would you say is your funniest story from growing up in a big family like that?
Oh, gosh, there's so many. It'd be hard to pinpoint it, but I don't know. We had a staircase that went up, and then there was a landing, and then it went up again. And we used to get into, put these cardboard boxes on them and stuff and try and slide down there, and we'd get into all kinds of mischief doing things like that. I think my brothers even took mattresses off of beds one time. We slid down there.
Oh my God.
But growing up, we had fun times. We'd go up, swing on slides. Everything was outside. We did a lot of outside activity when inside. We didn't even have a TV.
Really?
Growing up, not until I was probably 8 or 9, and we were one of the first ones to get one, and it was just very limited, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
you were telling me earlier that your high school was
an all-girl high right. school. Can you talk a little bit about that?
What that was like? It was fine. I didn't even think anything about it because that's just the way everybody, you know, grew up. And there were several all-girls high schools. And then there was Cathedral, which was an all-boys school. So then that's just the way the kids, that's just the way it was back in those days. I don't think anybody, I didn't give it much thought, really.
Mm-hmm. What was your typical Saturday night like in high school?
Oh, in high school?
Yeah.
It depends what year. Was I dating yet? Well, let's see. Then that would be either going to a miniature golf course or going to a movie or something like that, you know. And we had these, which was real popular back in the day, was a Chef Boyardee's, and we'd go back and make pizzas. And
oh.
Yeah, those were kind of fun. But I remember in grade school, we would, on a Saturday night, go to the Coliseum, the Indianapolis, Indiana Coliseum, and we would ice skate. And that was a big deal to do that. We all would go and skate around and do that and then come back and spend the night with your friends and giggle and have fun. Yeah, just was kind of easy. I mean, you know, I don't even know how we got. I was thinking about that the other day since there was no cell phones and stuff. And we have one phone line and you have nine people in your house, which is crazy when you think about that. And how I even communicate with people to pick me up for a ride, you know, who's driving and what. I mean, you had to figure all these things out. This is very different back then to do that without it. Now you guys just text and do things.
Yeah,
back then we had, right.
Did you have a job growing up ever?
Oh, yeah. I actually had a job in high school. Well, other than babysitting for my siblings, which was whatever kind of job. I didn't like that much. But, but when I got paid job, I worked at JCPenney's, I remember. I remember after school having to take a bus downtown. They had JCPenney's in the circle down there. And that was my first experience of learning to as a sales clerk. Mm-hmm. And I was competing with these older people that were on commission. And so they'd pretty much just like knock you out of the way when a customer would come in because they were going to make commission. So that's my first experience as a salesperson. So kind of taught me a lot.
So you cheered in high school, correct?
I did, yes.
And you said that they only kept like two girls 1 year, or how did
three years? Well, when we tried out, it was quite different because the only thing we had to know was the Cathedral cheer. All the girls' schools would try out to be a Cathedral cheerleader, and you would try out at the end of your sophomore year. And if you made it, you would be automatically a varsity cheerleader for 2 years for all sports. So it was a big deal. And I remember, I forget how many, it was 200 and some girls that first day. And then they made cuts. And then you had to go back the next day, and they made cuts. And they go back the third day, and it was cuts. It got down to seven girls, and they were going to pick three out of the seven. And so it was really intense.
Yeah.
I was so sore. I remember that I hardly could move, but I did. But so anyway, I ended up getting it. I was very, very excited, and so did my girlfriend, because we both wanted it so badly, and that was very exciting.
So then also, looking at the pictures, you were a cotillion queen?
Yeah. I was, but I mean, each school put up a candidate, and then when the people came to the dance, they voted.
Mm-hmm.
And I won, so I was very excited about that. So I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, no. When you look back on, like, your childhood and high school years, that sort of thing, what would you say is, like, your favorite memory?
And, like, wow. Favorite memory of high school? I don't know, just all my friends. I just had so much great friends, and we still get together. I mean, they'll come to Indianapolis, and we'll get together, and we are very connected still to this day, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
We have one girl that's a really great communicator that keeps everybody in touch. So,
yeah,
I still see them all, and we communicate. So, yeah, that's just, those friendships are just something that are just special, very special to me. I mean, just the fun, the laughter, growing up, maturing, boyfriends, all that kind of dances and just all that kind of normal activity. That's just a part of growing up and maturing.
Yeah. Experiencing all of that for the first time.
Right. Yeah. It's exciting. Yeah. It's kind of exciting. Yeah. I mean, I just had very happy memories of growing up, really. I can't say anything negative about it, really.
Yeah. And then obviously, like we talked about, you grew up in a big family with a lot of siblings.
Mm-hmm.
What did that teach you, growing up in a big family?
Well, you had to take care of yourself. That's one thing. You had to learn to be responsible and take care of yourself because your mom and dad were so, well, your mom was so busy. I mean, I had all these siblings underneath me that you just had to learn to fend for yourself. I think that was the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm. And then what would you say is the greatest thing your parents taught you?
Well, they used to always say, you know, if you're going to take the time to do something, do it right. I noticed that, and it is true. I mean, you sort of like, people just kind of do things half way, you know, they're just kind of like, yeah, that's fine, it's good enough. And it's like, and I think my dad was a bit of a perfectionist, which helped encourage that.
Yeah.
Because he wanted you to do it right. It's like, why are you doing it wrong? Why would you take the time to do it wrong? So it's kind of taught me that no matter what you're going to do, do the best you can. Just do the best you can in what you're doing. That's all it is. I mean, it doesn't matter what job or what position you're in. Just do the best, and it will pay off.
So college, you went to Ball State. What made you go there? And then,
well, that's interesting, actually, because I really was planning on going to Purdue. And my dad knew somebody, that one of the higher-ups in the Ball State, and he had me go visit the campus. And I liked it, so we decided to do that instead. And I started going there. And then I actually got a job offer after my freshman year to teach in a Catholic grade school.
Oh, where?
And St. Michael's in Indianapolis.
Oh,
yeah, so they didn't do that. They don't do that now. You'd have to have a degree. But back then, I was offered to teach 59 and 10-year-olds, and I was only 19.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. So I loved it. I took the job, but when I walked in the first day, I looked so young. I think they were waiting for the teacher to come in. I absolutely loved it. And so that's one reason. And then after that year, then I got engaged. And I also, during some of that time, I was taking some classes at Butler at the same time. So,
So, how did you meet your husband then, if you got engaged?
Well, this funny story is actually going back to our high school and all that, the groups, we all ran a huge group of kids. It's just a huge group, boys and girls. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the Catholic community had lots of siblings.
Yeah.
So everybody knew each other. If you knew the last name, you knew somebody in the family. That's just kind of the way it was. Mm-hmm. So, I had a brother that was in his grade in school, and so we really never met. We both know who each other were. By the time when he asked me out, he actually asked me out, and I was dating somebody else, so I told him no. Uh-huh. And then he called me a year later, and I was available, so we went out. So, and our first date was like a big group date with a bunch of kids going on some kind of a Notre Dame picnic, and it wasn't very intimate, to say the least. But
how many years older than?
He's just two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It wasn't real intimate. I didn't even know if we were going to have a second date.
Really?
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember actually making a date with some guy that was there at the party. So bad.
So how long did you date before you got engaged?
Oh, engaged? I don't know. We got married 2 years and 2 months to the date after our first date. So I don't think we probably gave my parents a heck of a lot of notice. I suppose we got engaged in the spring. I don't remember the date, truthfully.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then we got married in August. See, our anniversary's coming up in a couple days.
August what?
24th.
Oh.
Yeah.
How many years will it be?
57.
57? Oh, my goodness.
I know, right?
Wow. And how did you know he was, like, the one?
Well, he always made me feel, I don't know, he was always calmer than the other boys I did, it just seemed like.
Yeah.
And we just seemed to fit together. We just seemed to complement each other, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, I always felt like I could trust him, and I liked him, and he was sincere, and, you know, just very genuine. I loved him. I was always very comfortable with him.
Yeah. So, obviously, you're going to be married 57 years, right? So, what would you say is the key to a successful marriage?
I'd say, number one, if you had one word, it would be trust. And don't try and change each other. Just respect each other's opinions and views on each other. And just always respect that. Because I remember when we used to play, there was a game called the Newlywed Game way back in the day. And we would win it, not so much that we would have the same answers, but we knew how each other felt about things. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing, if you understand that. But respect each other's opinions and don't try to go in and change each other, because that's not going to happen.
How old were you when you had your first child?
21.
21?
Yeah. And I was excited because when we got married, I just wanted to have kids so badly. I wanted them right away. And it actually took me like 6 months to get pregnant. And I thought that was an eternity back in those days. I was like, dang, oh, I'm never going to have a baby. But I did. I'm so glad. And I loved her so much. And I just, I've always wanted to be a mom. I loved kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you were 21 when you had your first daughter.
Joni.
Joni, okay, and then Susie, and then Diane.
Right.
So how old were you when you had Diane?
Like 26.
26, okay, so 3 kids in 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how excited were you to have girls, since you obviously grew up with mostly brothers?
Yeah, you just said it in a nutshell there. Uh-huh. Growing up with 5 brothers, I was elated to have girls, but you know, it didn't matter because I would have loved any you know, boys or girls, mm-hmm. I would have loved them all. But I loved having girls. It was precious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I loved dolls and all those things. And yeah. I actually could have dolls around without being marked on like my brothers are cutting their hair or whatever they did. But I always loved dolls, so I was glad to have somebody to give them to.
Yeah, I bet. Do you have any especially funny, like, parenting stories? Or
of them?
Yeah, when they were little.
Oh,
probably a lot.
Well, lots of them, sure. Yeah. I mean, like Joni, I remember when she was really little, her jump, there was a stage at Shakey's. Do you know what Shakey's was? A pizza parlor? Have you ever heard of it?
No, never.
Okay. But she jumped up on this stage and started dancing. She was real little. I don't remember, two or three. It was just funny because cute doing that. I thought she was darling, but... And then Susie, the kids were, I remember her, she loved butter for some reason. And she would crawl across the kitchen table and just to grab the chunk of butter. I mean, just to grab it with her hand. And then her dad would say, "Susie, what are you doing?" She goes, "Just a minute, okay, Dad? I got to get the butter first and then I'll talk to you." And then Diane, she liked the artwork on the walls. And I remember coming home one time and the walls were all marked up. And Dave went up to her and he said, "Look at those walls. Who did this?" And he looked at her and she went up and started going, "Tickle, tickle, tickle," started tickling him, making him laugh. So nobody ever got mad at him.
Oh.
They were so cute.
Speaking of, like, drawing, though, when did you start doing art? Like, had you always been interested in it?
Yes, I have always. I have a couple of brothers that are very good artists. One's a jewelry designer and one has done illustrations. So we've got a lot of art. Grandmother, aunt, a lot of artists in the family. And I just kind of loved art always.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of an inherited thing in our family, actually. Mm-hmm. It just was a thing that was natural for me, and I loved it. And I took some classes at Ball State in art, too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then your girls, obviously, are pretty...
Well, Susie's very artistic and creative, by the way, and art, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Diane with the cosmetology. Like, I feel like that they're all very artsy.
I didn't even tell you this, but speaking of art, Susie just is illustrating my first book.
You have a book?
I have a little children's book I'm writing. And I keep forgetting. I got so much stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
So she just finished illustrating it, and we're going to try it. We've got to put the words on the pages. And then, so, yeah, she does fabulous work on it. So I'll give you a copy when we get it done.
Yes.
So I used to tell the grandkids this story all the time. And they would say, "Grandma, you got to make a book. And some of them said, "You just got to do it." So we've actually started doing it.
What would you say is the most rewarding part about being a parent?
Oh, wow. That would be watching these beautiful gifts from God just grow into these wonderful, beautiful women, mature women, just watching that happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, because I always think of them as such precious gifts from God.
What lesson would you say did you stress the most with your kids when they were growing up?
Well, I would always tell them, don't ever worry about what other people say. And I still tell people this all the time, even when I'm subbing. I say, don't worry about what they're saying. They're more interested in themselves than they are in you. If you just ignore them, they don't really care about you. They're just looking for a reaction. So just don't worry about what other people say. I always try to stress that they're thinking about themselves, generally.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are.
Yeah, that's true. So what would you say is, like, a good tip to raising daughters?
Always understand that they're each a unique gift from God. Each one is individual, and don't compare one to the other. Always love them for what they are and what their talents are, because everybody's different.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say. Just don't compare one to another.
Yeah. And when you say that's your biggest piece of parenting advice?
Probably for parenting, yes. Just, yeah. And don't, because everybody is unique. I mean, it'd be boring if everybody were dentists or everybody were astronauts. I mean, everybody has unique talents, and we have to praise them for that. So, that's what I'd say.
What would the Mary of today tell herself as a young wife and mother?
Well, don't judge. Let them know you'll always be there for them. That's all. I mean, just be respectful. Mm-hmm. Listen. Be sure to listen to people. Listen to them. And don't judge them when you listen to what they say. Always be there for them. Let them know that you're there unconditionally for them. Because if you start scolding them or doing whatever, they're going to just shut off and clam up and they're not going to talk to you. So you want to have that open communication at all time. Mm-hmm. So always keep that open.
Moving on to your career,
uh-huh.
Obviously you said your first job was at Penny's, but then also your, like, real life first job was teaching at St. Michael's.
Yeah.
So from there, like, where did your career take you?
Oh, boy. I got married, had children. I was lucky enough to stay home and not have to work other than doing some little... I remember I sold Shackley, which was some kind of a vitamins and cleaning product. Did that for a little bit. And then, let's see... Oh, I taught aerobics for 10 years down at the Y.
Okay. And what made you get into that?
Oh, I always liked stuff like that, you know, being the cheerleader. I just kind of like to do those exercises. I went to a class and they were looking for instructors. And I went, hey, there you go. That was it. So I did that for about 10 years. And I became so I did that. And I loved leading the class. I had the energy back then to do it, and I loved it. Yeah.
Was it like dance type aerobics?
Or? Yeah, different types. Different phases went in and out of that at the time. You know, some would be dancing, and all of a sudden they got into different things. So we went through a whole gamut of different kind of physical activities to that. But it was all fun. And then I needed to get a real job. And I saw this average. Well, I made my mind up one day. I thought, I decided I wanted to get a new car. And I thought, I can do it. I can get it myself. You know, I figured, why not? I mean, other people are doing it. I can do it. Mm-hmm. So I saw this ad for this advertising company in New York. And I went down to India to interview for it. And I got the job. I mean, of course, I was a sales clerk. I mean, but anyway, I loved it. I went out and I went to the training and all that. And then my first area was Noblesville that I had to cover this area. Okay. Yeah. And I drove down there every day, back and forth. I mean, even in horrible weather. And I was very successful with it. I learned a lot. I listened to tapes, but I figured things out about how to sell and get it done. And so it took a lot of hard work. And people would say, oh, you're so lucky. And I went, yeah, the harder I work, the luckier I get. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, just like, it doesn't just happen.
No.
But I mean, I had a knack for it. I liked it and I was interested in it and I believed in what I was selling, and it was just like transferring enthusiasm from one person to another. And I ended up in 9 months then becoming a sales manager, where I hired and trained and fired and all that kind of stuff.
How old would you have been at this time?
Ooh, gee whiz, I don't know. Oh, I was in my 40s, late 40s.
Okay.
I would say, yeah. Because I remember turning 50 at one of the Marriott's where I stayed.
Yeah.
And they had a cake and everything for me. That's how I remember that. So I must have been in my 40s, late 40s, I'd say.
Wow. And what were you selling? Ads?
Advertisement, which is an intangible, which is very hard to sell. I mean, it's nothing they can see.
Yeah.
So you have to, yeah. But it was interesting.
What tactics would you use when you were selling?
Well, believe it or not, as much as I like to talk, I know when to not talk. Mm-hmm. And there's an old, you say the KISS theory. Have you ever heard that?
No.
You haven't? It's keep it simple, stupid. In other words, don't talk yourself out of a sale. Quit talking. Which the key is in selling is to present your whatever you're selling to the potential customer, and then you stop talking. When you say, okay, and this is all, you just need your approval here. I never say, I need your signature. I just said, after I would go over, then I just need your approval. Then I wouldn't say another word. And then he would sit there, and I don't care if the silence went on forever, do not ever talk again until they talk, because they're thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And then they will come back and ask you a question, answer it, and be quiet again.
I've never heard that before.
Oh, it is true. I would have sales reps that would keep talking. I was like, oh, I'd give them the little pinch under the table. Shh, just stop. You have to know when to not talk, and that's really key in that. So there's a lot of advice you can give, and there's so much of it that you can, but it isn't that the people that make the sales aren't so much better than the ones that don't, but they're just a little bit better, you know, they know have a little more finesse.
Yeah. So like, what advice would you give to a young woman trying to work her way up in her career?
Like you?
Yeah. Yeah, like advice.
Well, I would say, the only thing that's going to sell you short is what's going on in your own mind. You're selling yourself, because you could do anything. You're not limited to anything. I mean, well, within reason, of course. Like, I couldn't be a ballet dancer or anything, but I would just, but I mean, really, don't sell yourself short. Mm-hmm. You can do anything you want. And I would always tell people, you don't know if you don't ask. Ask. You're not afraid to ask. I know you're not. So don't be afraid to ask questions or ask people things. You're going to be so surprised. It's a definite no if you don't ask. Mm-hmm. But if you ask, you may get a yes, and you're going to be surprised about that. That's true.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
When did you start substitute teaching?
Well, after I retired, and the only reason I retired from this advertising company is I absolutely loved it. By the way, it's a very woman-oriented company, and we get to go out to New York every year. It was just so much fun.
Once a year?
Yes. We had big sales meetings, and they'd give you gifts, and it was just fun, and we'd go out and party downtown New York. So it was always
fun.
Yeah, every year we did that. So much fun. I loved that. But the only reason is it went to all computers then after that, which was sad. So they just kind of dissolved that, and other people bought them out. And so it was kind of, it's kind of sad. So it was just kind of, it wasn't any longer. Yeah.
How old were you when you retired?
Well, I retired Oh, well, first time. No, I retired when Luke was born, so I was probably mid-50s, I'd say, because I remember that I wanted to stay home and, you know, be able to see the grandkids, too. So that's, mm-hmm. I'd say the next several years is when I did that.
Yeah.
In substituting, then, all of a sudden, I just wanted to do something to keep mentally and physically active, which is very important mm-hmm. to do when you get older. You want to stay active because mentally, you know, people have a lot of mm-hmm. issues and you need to stay on top of that as well as the physical activity. Mm-hmm. And so I found that substituting is going back to my roots of teaching from way back. I've always loved kids. I just love substituting. I started out in the elementary school and I love the little children, but they require so much energy mm-hmm. that then I moved to the middle school, which probably wasn't my favorite age, but I love the kids. But then I got to the high school, and that's where I found I settled there because I loved the high school. So I've been doing it for like 10 years. Mm-hmm. So this year has made me very sad because, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm obviously high risk, so I don't know. And I love the teachers. They've always made me feel just so welcome, mm-hmm. and I just love the kids too.
So how many grandkids do you have?
I have 8.
And what would you say is your favorite part about being a grandma?
I thought you were going to say, what's my favorite one?
Well,
No. They all are. I think that just favorite part about being a grandma. Wow. I guess the thing is, with 8 of them, I get to plant lots of hugs and kisses on them mm-hmm. so much. Oh, my gosh, just squeeze and squeeze. Oh, my gosh, and you get 8 of them. Yeah. Sometimes you have all 8 at once. You don't get that growing up with the little ones, but... And then, you know, it's less responsibility for you, obviously, now that you're older. Mm-hmm. But I like teaching them things that I've learned along the way. I think that's really important to do. I mean, they're young, but hopefully they'll grab something that you've said along the way just from your mm-hmm. life lessons. Anyway, I love them all, and they're all precious. And mm-hmm. and I just, yeah, I can't describe how unconditionally I love those children mm-hmm. as my own children, as I did my own children.
Yeah. As you look back on your life, who are the people who had the greatest impact on you or influenced you the most, would you say?
Well, obviously my mother and father. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they absolutely did. I'm sure there was other people along the way, but there's nobody there. And then, of course, God, he's not here in the physical sense, but that too. You know, just to have morals and the authority, you know, to know right from wrong and that mm-hmm. type of thing. And they've always, you know, we always went to church and we always had that, so that was always a great for them. Mm-hmm. Great role model in that way.
What would you say is your favorite memory or, like, favorite time period of your life so far?
And, you know, I saw that you were going to ask that, and I actually don't know how to answer that because I can't put... I say the one I'm in right now, maybe, just mm-hmm. because, you know, I've been so blessed to go through all these different phases and stages of life, and the memories are just overwhelming, and each one, you just get more and more memories and more experience. It's just wonderful. So I don't know. I'd say just the current one, but they've all been great. I don't have a bad memory of...
So then would you say that you regret anything in your life?
I'm sure anybody can say they regret and whatever. I mean, there's always things you would think you would go back and change. However, I think life is a series of experiences. They can be ins and outs and ups and downs and good and bad, but they're all experiences. And I think that you need to go through that because it's... makes you who you are today. Because if you hadn't gone through some things or fallen down and stood back up, how would you know? That way you have more empathy for other people, you have more understanding. So I think that all experiences are good. I think God does what he needs to do to get you where you need to be. So whatever has happened and transpired to this point, you are where you need to be right now.
What advice would you give to my generation?
Wow. Really? I would say... I can't say this enough because it's going to sound cliche, but for the last several decades, I've been spiritually into the Bible and all scripture and all that type of thing. I would say you need to pray. You need to really come to God and see the truth and understand that he is the truth, the light, and the way. And he is. So I don't know. I really would say that because I think you guys really, really, really are inundated with all kinds of, you know, you've got your Twitters and you're this and you're that and you're that. And it's just, I feel so bad for you, really, because I never had any of that. I'm glad, but mm-hmm. but that's not, you guys do have it. So I say, just reflect, get yourself in a quiet time every once in a while so you can reflect and pray and understand what the truth is, because this is a tough time you've got coming up with all this. Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the world right now?
Yeah, well, I think we're being challenged big time, and I think that there's so much false information going around, and people are buying it hook, line, and sinker. And I think that the influence, again, is going in through your Twitters and your tweets and all these kind of Facebook and all this, and they've tried to influence people, and especially, I think, not necessarily all, but a lot of the 18 to 20, 30-year-olds that are still kind of undecided and not knowing, but you've got to, again, go back to the truth, and as easy as it may sound, but really you've got to pray. Mm-hmm. You've got to pray and know that God's in charge of all this, and I think the world's in a mess right now, and I think that we're being hoodwinked, tested, bamboozled, lied to big time.
What do you believe is the most important thing in life?
God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is nothing else. I'm trying to think of this one saying. It's sort of like this one life will soon pass, but only what's done for Christ will last. And that's the truth. I mean, this is a temporary situation that we're in. It's hard to believe, but it's my 77 years, I look back on those pictures over there, and it seemed like yesterday. And it's going to go pretty quickly. But eternity is a really long time. Mm-hmm. So you want to get it right while you're here. That's what I'd say.
And then the final question, what do you hope to be remembered by?
My humor, my love for people, my unconditional love, and I guess that, I don't know. I mean, just, I love people. I just love them, and I hope that everybody would do the right thing.
Born with fight inside her, literally, considering she wasn't expected to survive, Mary's whole life reflects the determination she showed as a tiny infant. From growing up in a family with 7 kids, to having 3 children of her own, running fitness classes at the Y for years, working her way up in sales in a matter of months, for Mary, the harder she worked, the luckier she got. However, she credits none of these accomplishments to herself, but to her Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is because of her faith in Him that she is where she is today, the fun lover of people that she is.
Well, it wasn't real interesting back then. It didn't do a big deal of it, but yeah. It was really cute. I remember that he pulled up in front of our house. He was going to let me out, but he said, wait a minute. He said, I think that you might have left something in the glove box.
Oh, my gosh.
So I went and opened the glove box, and here's a little ring box, and I opened it up. And of course, he couldn't get down on his knee because we were in the car. But he said, wait a minute. So it was like that, but that was very exciting, but yay. Love you, Lexi Doo. Did I really do good?
Yes.